Welcome to The Sound of Economics, the podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank specialized in economics and economics policy. I'm Maria Demergis, Bruegel's deputy director. I'm pleased to bring you today's episode. I'll be having a conversation with Sandro Gozzi, who is Italy's State Secretary for European Affairs. Hello,
Hello.
Sandro, and welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We are going to be talking about multi-speed Europe. This will be a free-flowing conversation, but to get us started, let me ask you one important and big question. The concept of multi-speed integration in the EU is not new. However, it has always been seen as a threat. Do you see it as a threat? And first of all, what do you understand with multi-speed Europe to be?
I think that it has always been the opportunity, a big opportunity, and I always think that it has been the fundamental feature of the European integration. And the first is that we cannot wait everybody until going toward the right direction. Because if the six founding members had to wait the other European democracy in 1957, they wouldn't have started. If the 12 members of the Eurozone at the beginning had to wait for all the other to start, probably today we wouldn't have the Euro, or we wouldn't be already 19 in the Eurozone. If the five countries that even outside the European Union through an agreement decided to have free movement of people, Schengen Convention at the time, and then Schengen Agreement, and then Schengen regulation in EU law, had to wait for all the others, probably today we wouldn't have the free movement of people. So I do believe that it is the way forward, and I do believe that it is today not only an opportunity, but a necessary opportunity.
But you make it sound like it is almost inevitable to have multiple speeds in Europe. First of all, what do you understand with the concept of multi-speed? What exactly is that? Because it does mean different things to different people. If I may, in the 90s, we were talking about two-speed Europe. And there the two speeds were really euro and non-euro. Is that what it still means? Or
no,
do you mean other things?
I don't have a number. I don't have a magic number. I don't know if it's 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
I got a magic adjective. A speeder Europe, faster Europe. And I think that everybody wants to go faster should be able and free to join the group who decide to go faster. It is not a selected group. It is not a group where I decided whether you can join or not. It is an elective group. All those who want to deepen their integration in defense, for example,
yeah,
or around the Eurozone, they must be able to do so without obliging anybody to follow at the same rhythm, but without accepting that anybody can veto, can stop, can paralyze them. I think that is necessary because I see that someone is think that that would lead to the collapse of the Union. In a body, the medical research prove that today a sedentary life is much more dangerous for your heart than a dynamic and high-speed life. And I think that the Union, if remains in status quo, in an inertia status, if it moves too slowly, there I would be worried about a collapse or an implosion, whereas I'm convinced that we need a stronger Europe in some key field. I've just mentioned a few of them.
Yeah, but you know, see, the people who are afraid of multi-speeds, or of any speeds this would be, they're really afraid of that one thing, that they will not be the ones choosing which speed to be in. And I think that's really the fear behind. And you seem to believe, and you know, that's actually very encouraging, that this is not the way that multi-speed Europe is going to progress.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. For me, there are three elements in this faster Europe, as I call it. The first element is openness. You must be open to any people, any government who decided that it wants to be in the faster group. Inclusiveness. I think that you must rely always on EU institutions. You must include EU institutions in this group. It cannot be based only on simple cooperation between government, cooperation between administration, classical diplomatic approach. And these are certainly two key elements. The third, which is the ground on which we can build this, it is political will, free choice.
Yeah,
And I think that with this ingredient, which are absolutely possible, and which we have already tested, take for example the euro, I think that we can move ahead, and I'm convinced that that's the way forward.
But let's take this euro. You mentioned the euro. Is it possible to think of multiple seeds within the eurozone? So we hear a lot about a European finance minister. We hear a lot about greater fiscal integration, in degrees, of course, but greater than what we have today. Can you think of a realistic scenario in which the eurozone, countries in the current state of the eurozone, move at different speeds when it comes to fiscal integration?
That is more difficult. I hope, and I would start from the main way, and the main way is that the eurozone itself becomes a speeder group. That means
as a whole,
because it is clear that I doubt that anybody can be can say to be fully satisfied with the eurozone as it works today. It is clear that we need to improve the function of the eurozone. We need to improve the policies within the eurozone. We need to improve the governance. So it is clear that when I talk about the speeder group, my approach is that the eurozone in itself is a speeder group.
So that's a demarcation line. So the euro countries in itself cannot move in different speeds.
I doubt that around the economic and monetary union you can have a different speed, but I'm convinced that after the crisis, and also in the light of the crisis, in a cost-benefit analysis, the advantages of being a member of the eurozone are much higher than possibilities of getting out.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm convinced that all the members of the eurozone wants to remain in the eurozone, and I'm persuaded that they feel also that you need to improve, to reshape the eurozone.
How do you calm the minds of those who are really worried that this may be beginning of a cherry-picking exercise where some countries decide that, oh, they like some of this fiscal discipline, but they don't like other things, and that this is really not the beginning of the end?
In the eurozone itself, you need to have a thorough debate, and we are preparing as Italian government to have a very frank debate after the German elections, where everybody will bring up its proposals. Yeah. We have already presented our proposal 1 year ago. They are very convergent with the Emmanuel Macron proposal on the eurozone reform. We want to have a very open discussion with our German friend and with other countries who have been until recently more reluctant in a thorough reshaping of the eurozone. But, I mean, how avoid the cherry-picking? In the multi-speed Europe, I think that we have to be very clear on the common objectives. I mean, do we want a Europe of defense, for example? I think that it is necessary to have a stronger defense and security policy. Can I say that this will happen only when all the 27 member states agree? No. First, because it's not realistic. Second, because we don't have time to waste.
Yeah.
Third, because I cannot oblige a country to engage more on a very sensitive issue such as security and defense. So can be 7 countries, 9 countries, 10 countries who decided to have a structural cooperation in the defense field to develop a European defense industry, you see.
Yeah.
It can be that other country wants to be more cohesive in some aspect of migration policy. So I would say that must not necessarily coincide with the membership of the eurozone, and it is clear that the scenario becomes more complex, but it is also clear that it is necessary that we advance toward these key issues, and this is why looking at faced with this increased complexity, we want always to include the EU institutions, because they would be very helpful in managing this complexity.
But what about demarcation lines? I insist on this point because I think that's something that we really need to clarify, in particular since we don't have an agreement what we mean with multi-speed Europe. You seem to believe, if I understand you correctly, that when it comes to the eurozone, there we need to have a lot more homogeneity in the speed. But when it comes to defense policy or to migration policy, there are countries are freer.
Or some initiative on foreign policy.
or foreign policy, indeed. Don't you think that can be conflicting with some of the principles on which the EU was built? Was founded?
I think that the two preconditions are that we use the Union to pursue common objectives, where towards we go all together whenever it's possible, towards we go with a faster group whenever it's necessary. I think that this should be the rule. And it is clear that all this must be in full conformity, compatible with the fundamental principles of the European Union.
Thank you very much. I think that's a very good moment to actually close the conversation, although there's much more to discuss. Thank you for taking the time to be with us, Sandro. And thanks for listening to The Sound of Economics. If you're interested in more work from Bruegel, you can find a range of blogs and papers on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again for The Sound of Economics.